This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Senate confirmation hearings are underway for Attorney General nominee Loretta Lynch. The North Carolina native would be the first African-American woman to hold the post. Meanwhile, a state court judge hears arguments today on whether North Carolina voters should have to show ID in the 2016 election. And a third time will not be a charm for presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. He said that while he believes he could win the nomination, it's time for someone from a new generation of Republicans to make a bid. Joining us now, as he often does, is political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Frank.
This announcement, let's take this up first. Mitt Romney, not going to do it a third time, huh?
Well, not a surprise. I mean, not a surprise to me, although it seems like so many people were talking about how he was preparing to run and he was outlining all his themes that he wanted to run. But he was losing a lot of support. A lot of former supporters were drifting away to Jeb Bush and other candidates. There were a lot of people who were talking about all the opportunities he had in 2012, a possible, you know, an opportunity to win the presidency, but he failed. North Carolina was the only swing state, battleground state that he won of all the ones that are at stake in 2012. And a lot of people felt he had his chance. Matter of fact, he had his chance twice. And, you know, third time, not the charm, I guess.
Well, and face it, I mean, if you look at what the likely challengers or the likely slate in the 2016 election, I mean, this is, after all, a two-family system.
You mean it has to be the Bushes and the Clintons, you're
saying, right? Apparently so. I guess that's the way it goes in this country. Yep.
Well, that's true, although a lot of people do have, I mean, look, well, how about the Romney family? Remember President George Romney?
Actually,
nobody remembers President George Romney because he wasn't president. But yeah, a lot of these people, the Rand Pauls, a lot of folks are coming. I think Hillary Clinton also had members of her family who were in the White House.
That's what I'm saying. It could be Clinton
and
Bush.
She's a new face also. I think America's looking for a new face, and so Clinton versus Bush, that could do. We haven't had that since 1992.
Wait, you've got all the pins and the bumper stickers. It's great.
I know. You just keep using them. Just keep reusing
just
them.
Just pull
right?
them out again.
Exactly.
Hey, are there any other third run attempts in history?
Well, yes, actually, the most memorable one. I mean, of course, Adlai Stevenson was the Democratic nominee in 1952, lost to Eisenhower, and then he came back again as the Democratic nominee 4 years later, lost to Eisenhower, and then he ran a third time in 1960. But, of course, by then he was old news, and the Democrats' heart went to John Kennedy.
With the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, it reminds us that the Buffalo Bills tried and failed four times. So
right,
there's that.
Well, we're not talking about Bill Belichick, the cheater, are we?
No,
we're not talking about that, are we? Don't get me started on that.
Attorney General nominee Loretta Lynch, confirmation hearing underway. She's a Greensboro native. She had an easy question, and the one question, I think, on the mind of the Republican majority here in the voice of Senator John Cornyn.
Let me just stipulate, you're not Eric Holder, are you?
No, I'm not, sir.
There we go. An easy question. His relationship, Eric Holder's, that is, with the Republican Party, strained at best. Tell us about her distancing herself from him.
You know something? That was the key question, because if you listen to the confirmation hearings, basically it was all about grievances the Republicans have had, not only with the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, but with Eric Holder on immigration, on his failure to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, on the IRS, on everything. It just seems like Holder and the Republican Party have had awful relationships, at least since he was confirmed in 2009. And the fact that Loretta Lynch is not Eric Holder is a good thing. But if you listen to all the questions and all the things they asked about her, it had less to do with her qualifications, as she seems to be eminently qualified. I mean, I can't imagine more than a half a dozen or so Republicans voting no, but it was all about Eric Holder, and I think they just needed that release.
Well, Tom Tillis, the freshman senator and new senator from North Carolina, had his own set of questions and concerns about her at the nomination process. The DOJ's handling of voting regulations that have been put in place since he was Speaker of the House in North Carolina and helped get those new restrictions in place. Here's his question.
I'm just curious how, as you go forward and you're dealing with the challenges in this office of, as I believe Senator Schumer said, trying to focus your resources on the bad actors, the hardened criminals, the difficult challenges that the department faces, in a case that has some 10 attorneys on it, focused on no less than 10, I believe, focused on that. I would hope that there would be some focus on, is that the best and highest use? If, given the merits of the case and other laws that have gone to the Supreme Court, that it's likely to end in a situation where it's going to rule in favor of the state, and at the expense of those resources, it could be used for other purposes.
What's he talking about, Ken?
Well, you know, so this is probably one of the least reported things about the confirmation hearings, and I thought perhaps the most interesting. Tillis basically asked Loretta Lynch what her views were of the North Carolina voting law that many Democrats and minorities say that, you know, it's discriminatory because it cuts early voting, it ends same-day registration, things like that. In 2016, there's going to have to be a photo ID for required to vote. And so he wanted to know what Loretta Lynch thought about that. And she said, well, you know, I'm not familiar with it. I hope to learn more. It's probably going to go to the court, but I'm really not familiar with it. And then Tillis read a statement where last year Loretta Lynch made a very explicit statements about the North Carolina law and how it may be discriminatory. So I'm not accusing Loretta Lynch of anything here, but it just seems like she may have been a little disingenuous when she said that I'm not really following this. And Tillis said, well, wait a second, what about this speech from last year?
She had a better answer than maybe she let on. Of course, it's interesting because embedded in Tillis's question is, are you going to waste your time with legislation that looks like, you know, in a case that it looks like you're going to lose? Although his critics and the critics of the legislature would say, well, you wasted your time solving a problem that didn't exist. Voter fraud wasn't a problem. Why'd you pass this law in the first place? And, of course, that's what the critics would say of the law in the first place.
That's a good point. And, of course, but either whatever regarding that conversation back and forth with Tillis and Lynch, the Department of Justice has challenged the voting restricting laws in North Carolina, in Texas. And I think, you know, between the courts and the DOJ, something will happen. I thought it was also surprising that the big issue that the Attorney General will have to deal with, I think, is the relationship between the police departments and minority communities around the country. And that hardly came up. And that was a big surprise to me.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Representative Renee Elmers made headlines for her positions on abortion. She withdrew her support from a bill that would have banned abortions after 20 weeks, later reversed course. What do we expect? Is there any long-term effect of that kind of switching her place on the issue?
Well, it's remarkable. To me, I mean, look, I don't know how to define a conservative anymore, and I'm not being critical of pro-life groups here, but to me, Renee Elmers is a strong, solid conservative. And to listen to many of these pro-life groups saying that she sold out the cause, that she's a liberal, I think Eric Erickson, the head of redstate.com, said Clay Aiken should have won that election. I mean, it was just, they feel it was such a betrayal. I mean, basically, look, Renee Elmers is certainly pro-life. She's an anti-abortion Republican, but she, like many Republicans, feel that to exclude the word rape in the definition, you know, in this language is a big mistake. And of course, if you're a true opponent of abortion, then there should be no exception. So she is really, the right wing is really looking to challenge her in the 2016 primary. And they talked about it in 2014, did a little bit, but not so far, didn't get so far. It's obviously she's in their sights for 2016. But boy, I mean, you can be very, very conservative, have a 99% conservative record. But you cross them on issues like abortion, and I'm not minimizing the importance of abortion, but you're going to be hit with a challenge in the primary, and that's what looks like it's going to happen.
Talking to political junkie Ken Rudin on the state of things. Well, the North Carolina legislature, or the General Assembly, is back in session. Ken, the first bill filed would allow magistrates to be exempt from performing same-sex unions, something that the courts have already ruled on. What's the motivation here?
Well, the motivation is clearly once the court struck down the ban on same-sex marriage in North Carolina, Republicans in the legislature to try to, I guess, basically have a little go-around on the knocking down of the law. So Phil Berger and the Republicans in the legislature are pushing this bill that would you know, it's okay for local officials to refuse to perform same-sex marriages if it violates your religious rights. And then, of course, opponents to that say, well, you know, what if the marriage between a white person and a black person violates your religious rights? I mean, can you refuse to do that as well? So, again, a lot of people says that it's an end run around the ban, the ban on the ban of the North Carolina bill. And we'll see what happens. But it's very controversial, and there's going to be certainly a court challenge to that, too, if it passes.
All right. Well, and that, this kind of political positioning and posturing and however much time it takes up from the legislature's other duties to work on this particular bill, I'll let Tom Tillis's question. The fact is that the legislature will have an agenda, and the governor, Governor McCrory, is about to set his agenda next week with his State of the State address, and he's facing reelection should he choose to run again. What does that mean politically? And I've got about 30 seconds left between him and the legislature in terms of his posture in the next 2 years.
Well, we saw this with Tillis in 2014. He was a very strong conservative when he ran the legislature, but as a Senate candidate trying to appeal to more centrist voters, there was some tension. You're just going to wonder what McCrory is going to say next Wednesday and whether it reveals any tension with Phil Berger and the rest of the Republicans in the legislature.
We will stay tuned. Political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Frank.
We got more details and a link to Ken's Political Junkie page at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a nonagenarian reflects on her adventures in Alaska when it was a territory. We'll talk to Penelope Easton about foodways in Alaska and what she learned. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.